Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. My, we have an exciting series that we've been following through the last couple of weeks. And me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to follow up again one more time on these thoughts of these chairs. If those of you who have been with us know, we've been talking about the three chairs and understanding what they mean and where they put us and how we stick to these three chairs. Now, David, not everybody has listened to our program yesterday. How about if you take a minute or two, if you would please, just to refresh us and tell us what these three chairs mean?
First chair is committed, really committed to God. Second chair, not so much. Third chair doesn't even go to church anymore. So we're trying to get people to move up in chairs. If they're sitting in the third chair, you don't go to church. Hey, why not try it this Sunday? And then you can go to the second chair after you begin to believe. And finally, you become committed. But today, we need to talk about the second chair. Because yesterday, we dealt all the,
yeah.
People know about the first chair, but we need to describe second chair people.
All right.
Okay.
Let me give me just a 30 seconds to refresh their minds, and then I want you to take off on that second chair, if you would. Yesterday, we were talking about sticking to the very basics and how important it is to be a winner in life, whether you're talking about an athletic event, whether you're talking about your spiritual life, or just whether you're talking about playing a game. Sticking to the basics is what makes you a strong winner. The idea is to win in this good old Christian world that we live in. And we spend a lot of time talking about how sticking to the basics applies to the first chair. And now we're going to move on to looking at that second chair. Dave, if you would kind of explain the details and the ramifications of what's this second chair all about?
Second chair people remain in the second chair. They never break free from compromise. They never enter the joy of commitment. They don't know what they believe about Jesus. Second chair people believe somewhere deep inside, for them, the best thing is not to commit fully to Jesus. And we have thousands of churches that have second chair people.
That's right.
And no one chooses to believe a lie if a second chair person really believed the truth about who Jesus is and what that means to mankind. He would become committed right this instant. First chair people believe that somewhere deep inside, for them, the best thing is to commit fully to Jesus. The only difference is the word not. They believe that Jesus is the person to whom they should be fully committed. They should serve him with all their heart, soul, and mind. Second chair people believed a lie about one of the following: the person of the Lord Jesus, the power of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, the program of the Lord. They don't want to, that's too deep for them. So as we examine them, ask yourself, you can begin to describe you. Be truthful. Hey, what do you really want to do about the person of the Lord? That's what moves you up to the first chair. What do you think about him? You change your belief. One reason the second chair Christians do not fully commit to Christ is that they believe that Jesus is not worth their trust. Second chair Christians believe that Jesus is flawed in some way, that he's not trustworthy. And don't be too quick to say this isn't true about you. I think it may be true of each of us. to different degrees at different times in our lives. Wow. Second chair people, they need to move up, but they need a little help. That's why we go to church. Second chair people go to church, and if somebody doesn't hold their hand and help them and promote them and push them and tug at them, and they struggle. They struggle to get to for the first chair.
Yes, they do.
So maybe you can jump in on this and talk about the... Maybe you want to move to the next rule.
There are a few rules that you have to follow. I think you did a good job, Dave, of explaining how these people that are in chair number two are struggling to try to become in chair number one. But there are some basic rules to follow. Hey, if you want to be mature, if you want to change your belief about the person of the Lord in the Lord, then you have to try to move into chair number one. But one reason that the second chair Christian do not fully commit to Christ is that they believe that Jesus is not worth their trust. Second chair Christians secretly believe that Jesus is flawed in many ways, that he is not trustworthy. And don't be too quick to say that we don't fall into that umbrella. I think it might be true of every single person. I remember a time of team building that we once had in the Wilderness Trading Conference deep in the mountains of the Carolinas. More than a dozen of the organization's executives devoted a week to intense wilderness events so that we could grow close to each other. At one point, there were only four of us remaining at the bottom of the sheer cliff, more than 150 feet high. The rest of the team was already cheering us. Our knees felt like jelly, and we kept asking ourselves, why on earth had we elected to do such a dumb thing as climb a steep cliff to build teamwork? Someone at the top held a rope, while one of the men at the bottom slipped it through the safety harness, and I'll never forget what happened next. The man grinned at the rest of us and yelled to the top, I'm ready. Who's holding my line? My life is in his hands. Vince, came the reply. The guy in front of me stepped back, waving his arms and shaking his head. We were all shocked when he said, I am not taking one step up this rock with that guy holding my ropes. I don't trust him. Get me somebody else. You know, that's the trust factor, isn't it? Well, let's face it, the silence could have been and should have been and would have been deafening. I could feel the sweat rolling down my face. The shock of all of those words left us all stunned. The utter embarrassment for the man at the top standing in front of all of this, hiding from his peers, he was unimaginable. None of us could say a word. Can you imagine how he came out and said, I don't trust that man. Get me somebody else. You see, that's the trust factor we're talking about here, Dave. You and I, and all Christians, we have to put 100% trust in our Lord and Jesus every day. In all of those decisions that we make, all of those decisions, Jesus has to come first. You want to move from that shaky, questionable chair number two? You want to go into chair number one? You have to trust. Jesus said, come follow me. If you really trust him, you would take that step. You would take his line, and you would follow him up to the face of the cliff. You would stop only when you decided you couldn't trust him. If you can't trust him any further, then you're done. You see, those who compromise stop somewhere on that cliff. I can't just go any further. I don't trust a person at the top. If you want to sit in the first chair, you'll have to learn to trust who Jesus is. You'll have to start believing that he loves you and he knows what is best. And your behavior will reveal what you really believe. Not relying on him proves that deep down, you don't trust him. It's that simple, David, my friend. We've got to trust Jesus. We just sang that hymn in our church just this past week. Trust and obey. Remember singing that one in church? I think just about all of us have. Once upon a time.
There's no other way
than
to be happy in Jesus.
But to trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
You got it. How about another rule, Dave?
Hey, Dave, we got to talk about the power that is involved here, the power of the Lord. some people don't understand that there is power in serving God, that once we learn about him and we believe in him, then we have an opportunity of reaching toward his power. None of us have the ability to change the way we live until we find our willingness to get his power in our life. When we go to the altar and we want to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, a lot of churches would never do that anymore. They haven't had an altar call in 40 years.
Oh my.
And people need Jesus to get to the first chair with power. And when you get saved, a power comes into your life. It changes everything. It just moves you from sin to righteousness and from non-commitment to commitment, and from things that you couldn't do, you can do now. If you don't have Jesus as a power in your life, you're going to be a second chair. And that second chair, after you've been there for 40 years, you'll slide to leave the church and ended up in chair three.
Wow.
Totally without God. Unbelievable. What a power of God we need. It's like Moses. He threw up his hands and said, you know, I've had it. I've had enough. People are in the wilderness. They want food and they want meat. They want water. You know, he finally wanted to say, look, you people, I just can't handle it anymore. But the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now that you shall see whether my word will befall you or not. And when they, Moses finally got with it and said, hey, yeah, well, I'll be the leader if you're going to give me that power, that when I speak. That's why some speakers get up in the pulpit and the whole congregation cannot leave them. They have such a powerful force that comes out of their life, and it spreads across the church, and people reach out with their very life and said, wow, I want to get... What they're saying quietly is, hey, I want to get out of the second chair, and I want to get to the first chair.
That's right. That's what they mean.
And the power of God gives you that opportunity. If you haven't been to church in a long time, you've never been to the altar, why not take the moment this week and say, hey, we're all going to church. Hey, we're all going. What? We're going to church, all of us. Get in the car. And when you get there, when the preacher says, would you like to have somebody pray for you? Boy, don't be the one that says, not me. I'm not ever going up there. That's where you miss it. That's the basic rule of being in the first chair. You want to get somebody to take you by your hand and stand at the altar and say, God, I want to commit my life to you. And that's the change. That's where it all happens, Giff.
That's it.
Churches would fill up again if somebody would tell them there's a power there, a power to change.
Yes.
You don't have to be in the second chair.
That's right.
You don't have to be uncommitted and forlorn about... why go to church? I never get anything out of it anyway. Sure you don't, because you are not committed and you've never had the power come into your life that says, wow, I can do that. I can follow Jesus because he gives me power in my life to overcome those things that beset me.
Amen. Amen. You said it all there. Do that. Move yourself. Especially for those of you who feel that you're closer to chair number three. You want to move. You want to move and bypass chair number two. You can go right to chair number one. Make that commitment.
One of the problems, Giff, is that second chair people secretly believe that God is too powerless for their big problems.
Yes.
What a big line.
Yes. That's not trusting. Remember, we talked a lot about that one last week, too. We were trusting. It's all about trusting the Lord. Well, there's a lot to be said about that. Mary and Martha believed in the final resurrection of the dead, but they just could not believe that the Lord could not raise someone from the dead while here on earth. You see, they had they didn't trust it. Their power was limited. They thought there was a maximum. And if even that was not too hard for Jesus, can you see how they utterly folled when they said to ourselves, hey, this is definitely too hard for God. That's right. People thought, Mary and Martha included, thought that this was too hard for God. And that's what you were alluding to, Dave. We, like Mary and Martha, believe that God will raise from the dead eventually. The Bible says it will happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what you were talking about earlier. It's going to happen that quick. The last trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise. And oh, my goodness, are things going to change when that day comes? We've got to be prepared now. Can you believe in the power is that big? The power of Jesus can be that mighty? Well, if the Lord is mighty in strength and power has no end and has no maximum, then yes, it will happen. Millions of people will be rushing to the doors of the church, but it will be too late for the majority of them. Many of those bodies have been totally disintegrated. Over thousands of years of time, that's one of them giving the brand new bodies. You want that brand new body? That's what we're all looking for, isn't it? Brand new body in heaven, where we're young and strong. What is there in your life that can possibly compare to that? Nothing could possibly compare to eternal salvation. It can be yours for the asking. You have to decide. Are there more rules?
Oh, yes, there's more rules. How about just change the word?
Okay.
The purpose. What is the purpose of the Lord? Second chair, people believe that it has to do with, it's a lie. They don't trust the person of the Lord. They doubt the power of the Lord, and they question the purpose of the Lord. The second chair people, they question the motives of the Lord. You know, people get talking about second chair people who talk like, why did Lord do that? Why didn't he do this? And God, how could you allow that to happen? If you were really good, then you would, you know, lies that are beneath all of us, they make it look like God is unfair. They don't know that the heart of the Lord is pure. They question the purpose of God. Asking why, it motivates them into too many questions. Sometimes when you question motive, you don't give your wholehearted support. You have your guard up all the time. And the enemy loves that. When he's got that kind of a person, he keeps him in the second chair. He bugs him all week long. Yeah, you don't have to go to church Sunday. No. You don't. Then what's it going to do for you? You know? But people who are in the first chair, when they get there, the cares of life, the job, how life goes on, it just melts, and their life goes on victorious.
Dave, you know what your words remind me of? When's the last time we studied Job? It's been a while, hasn't it? Maybe we're due to study Job again. But your words are reminding me of Job. Job was a chair of one person. But his friends, remember his friends who had all the doubt? Oh, you must have done something wrong. Did you curse the Lord? Did you sin somewhere along the line? Job, you must have. Look at yourself. Those are chair two people. And all of those doubts, all of those people, but Job, he stuck to it, didn't he? He was a chair one person. And I think you're right. You're talking about the purpose of the Lord. And that just reminds me of Job. He was very, very sincere. He didn't falter. Even though his friends were trying to pull him down to their level, he didn't slip down. He didn't go down to chair number two, did he? Those that were, yes, I think so. But I'm not sure because it's all hearsay. That's a chair two person. Well, you have to trust in the Lord and stay the course. Stay the course. It's very, very real. And some people can do that to you, like the serpents. The serpent did in back in Genesis. Remember, the serpent was very cunning, and he said to the woman, hey, you will surely die, for God knows that in these days you eat, and your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate it. That's right out of Genesis chapter 3. Okay, you want to do that? You want to be a doubter? You want to try to follow the serpent? Or do you want to stick the course and do what the Lord tells us to do? It's the same here, and day in and day out with our lives. The Lord was holding something from you. Is that what you feel? Eve thought that, right? She thought that everything was just wonderful. Well, can you believe it? Why? Just look at that tree. It's so desirable. Yeah, and it's going to make you wise. In other words, the lie is that God's real motivation is to harm you in some way. Oh, my goodness. That often leads to a person to conclude that if you circumvent the Lord's word, you're going to be falling off because you have to trust and obey all the time, not just usually. And you're going to be better off. Eve learned that the hard way. The message of the serpent was in the garden was just as true then as it is today. The Lord's command, you do not eat it, then you do not eat it. It will cause your body harm. Disobey his command, and you're going to have to pay the ultimate price. Don't just trust what the Lord says until you really feel that that is the truth. Evaluate whatever command the Lord gives, and make up your own mind. Don't let somebody else take you away from the truth. That's where people fall short. They let somebody else's words pull them down to their level. David, we're getting close to the end of the time again, and I know you have some serious thoughts about the second chair people. Would you please continue to share exactly what that means and what they should do about it?
Some people are stuck in the second chair. They can't find the first chair. Sometimes it takes people in their midlife crisis, like a pastor's been in church for 40 years and not too much is happening, and we find out how 1,700 pastors are leaving their churches this year. The ministry wasn't satisfying. He wanted other things that he didn't have. He wanted that red sports car and all that goes with it. It looked awfully good to the middle-aged married man, and so did quitting the ministry. I didn't know what I wanted to do instead. Maybe work at a bagel shop or some simple place, something else. It has to come to a head. You got to the place where finally you need to call upon the Lord and say, hey, I'm tired of the second chair. I need to move to the first chair where I can receive something that will be worthwhile to me. There's only a few more things that we needed to talk about. I think we did pretty good with the basics.
We covered a lot of them, didn't we? I know we're running short of time, Dave. Let's see if we can't make one more PowerPoint to our listeners, because they are curious about these chairs that we keep talking about. And my purpose today is to share the purpose of the Scriptures, the purpose of the Lord, and trust. I want to let our listeners know that they must trust the Lord. The purpose of the Lord is for your eternal salvation. And the Lord doesn't make you do anything. The Lord allows you to decide to do what you want. If he made you do it, we'd all be Christians, wouldn't we? The Lord gives you options, and you have to decide. You want to be chair one? You want to be chair two? You want to be chair three? You want to trust in the Lord, or do you want to do it your way? There's no simple answer except trusting in the Lord all of the way, every day.
Well, I think we are in a good subject. This is preaching material. This is standing behind the pulpit. And
oh, yeah. Oh, my. We could start, couldn't we? Oh, my.
And this is the kind of message that will stir the church, because at the end, you can bring people to their senses by asking them to come to the altar. You can watch how many people walk out of the church without ever wanting to go to the altar, without ever wanting to ask God to come into their life and give them a power and to live right. Then they walk out only to be confused and frustrated with what church is all about. So yes. I'm glad that we could talk about this. I think we need to take a moment and just pray for those who are struggling with chair two and bring them to chair one.
That's a good idea.
Just a minute prayer, okay?
Thank you, Dave.
Father, thank you for the privilege of telling people how they could be happy. They can be powerful in their life for Christ. They can come to the forefront of Christianity. They can do something that they've never done before. Moved up from third chair to second chair and from second chair to first chair. Do this for them. Let them find that commitment coming into their life stronger than ever before, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Those are powerful words, Dave. I sincerely thank you for being here. Our listeners are better off because of the message we're sharing about the chairs today. Maybe we'll return to this issue sometime in the future because it's extremely important. There are stacks of do's and don'ts, rules to follow, thought processes to follow. But I think they've gotten the gist of the idea. You've got to trust and obey. Put your faith in Jesus. Follow the do's and the don'ts, and you're going to live a very happy and peaceful and rewarding life. But the choice is yours. Nobody will force it to you.
We should do some more of this gift. We could look at the first chair mother. What does she look like?
Oh, yeah. That's
the first chair husband. You can even go to your church and find out what seat the church sits in.
We could do that. You want to do that next week?
Those are some of the things that are going to be... when you start looking at your mom or your wife and say, sweetheart, you don't sit in the right chair. That's when life really turns right in your home.
Yes, it does.
So
let's do that. But for now, we must say goodbye. So long, Gift Briner, saying so long for now.
I'm glad to say my piece. I've had a good time with you today. Have a good one. Bye-bye.